Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I'm not going to do a full keynote, but just a brief word so we can put something up on the blog as it's meant to be, starting back on the internet today. Something that the Lord said to me yesterday morning, he asked the question, what is pleasing to me? That is, to the Lord. What really pleases me? And there's two kinds of questions the Lord asks. Those that you know the answer to and he knows the answer to, and you know that you can't avoid the answer that he knows already. And those that he answers himself. And this was a question that he answered himself, so I'm just going to tell you what he said. There are a number of things. He said, first of all, praise that comes from hearts of those who truly want to live for my glory. Now, that's interesting because he didn't say that it's praise in and of itself that pleases him, but praise that comes from the hearts of those who want to glorify him, to live for his glory. And, of course, what Jesus says in John's Gospel about worship when he had this encounter with the woman at the well, the Father is looking for worshippers. And his definition of a worshipper is not someone who sings songs, but worship that comes, that flows from the heart of someone who wants to glorify him. Then secondly, he said, the actions that flow from obedience to the leading of my spirit. Actions that flow from obedience to the leading of my spirit. Now, last year we had this sort of key word, really, all the way through the year, of obedience. How this really pleases and glorifies the Lord. So, of course, it is obedience to the leading of his spirit and not to the deception. Not to what we want the spirit to be saying, but to what the spirit actually says. So he is only glorified, he is only blessed when there is obedience to what the spirit really is saying. Then thirdly, every work that comes from faith in me. Now, that obviously, I mean, you can tell how scriptural these things are, because faith without works is dead. So what pleases him are the works that come from faith. And then every action that is inspired by love. Phrase you notice from St. Paul, every action that is inspired by love. Now you can see already that what the Lord is saying is all about motivation, the praise that comes from glory, the actions that come from faith, actions that come from obedience, the works that come from faith and from love. So it's all about the nature of the heart, having hearts that really please him. And then our hope, those whose hope is secure in him, that their expectation is always positive and good because they know he is faithful and true. And so you've got those constituents. The praise comes from hearts that want to glorify him, the actions that flow from obedience to the leading of the Spirit, the works that come from faith, the actions inspired by love, the maintaining of our hope in the one who is faithful and true. And then the Lord simply summed this up by saying, this is what he means by a holy life. This is what he means by a life that is set apart for him. This is what he means by a life that really glorifies him. So then, this is the lives we're going to live. That as we come together, you know, at the end of the holiday period, and we really get geared up for this new season. So the church's year always starts in September, really, doesn't it? As we start this new season, this new year, we, as the team, are the professionals, if you like, devoting ourselves to be the people that will please God. It's not just a question of what we do in our ministries, because all of that, if it's going to please the Lord, is going to come out of these hearts that are right and true. So that's it, really. I'll get Clive to come and lead. We've now got an instrumentalist that has arrived, so we can praise the Lord, and Clive will lead us. I will just be seated, eh? Yeah. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Let's just read from, well, read from the beginning of the chapter. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord." Positive lot, aren't they? "Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt, this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." Look at this response. I love this. "Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell face down." And what happened? "And the glory of the Lord appeared to them." One of the things that, while I was away on holiday, God was talking to me about was that the church, not just our own church here, but the church is going to become more and more essential in society, because what is going on in society is outstripping people's ability to deal with just the issues of life, whether it's on a national government level, a local government level, all the different things that bodies of people that are set up to deal with life and society, and all the different things that make that up. We really do have the answer. And we know that the answer is the gospel. But also, there are very practical outworkings and applications of the truth that meet those issues of society in very practical ways. And just one of the things that God was kind of talking to me about was how the church is going to become essential, because society is outstripping itself. It doesn't know how to deal with things, and the church is going to become more and more important because of the answers and what it can do in terms of meeting the needs and changing things and turning things around. And increasingly, I've been reading this, obviously while I've been away, but increasingly we're going to hear more and more. I'm not just talking about Christians here, but out there in society, you know, this is not a good place. We've got needs. We don't know how to meet those needs. Where are we going to find the resources to meet these needs? It doesn't look like we can find them anywhere, because as people are looking around out there, there seems to be a lack in lots of different ways. And there's arguments, there's quarrels, there's different opinions and different ways of going about things out there. But basically what is being said is we don't know how to deal with everything that's beginning to outstrip our ability to handle it. And we can hear that kind of stuff. And firstly, that response for us is the same as Moses and Aaron here. That we come into our place of meeting with God and we fall face down before him and let his glory appear amongst us in a fresh way. And that's going to be key for us as a people, for the church to be moving in the life and the power of God to meet all of those different things that are going on out there. So we're going to have some falling before our face times with God, and however he wants to do that. And but one of the things I know for Jane and I, as we've been away, God's been doing with us and speaking to us about, is just the importance of knowing him, of just simply knowing him. It's great having loads of promises and loads of stuff and all of that, and we can, the danger of that is then we can just want to get on with it and just do all the stuff. But in amongst all of that, there's just a freshness of just knowing him and finding a satisfaction in knowing him, finding a fulfillment in just knowing him. And so partly here, they went into the tent of meeting, they fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord said to them, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron go gather the assembly. Then, this is really important, this part. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. And you will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink. So there's the provision. In a place of lack, the provision was already there. They went in and had an encounter with God, and in that place, God spoke to them and told them what to do so that the provision could be unlocked for whatever the particular need was at that moment that needed to be met in the situation for the people. But look what happens, though. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, so he did the right thing at this point, just as the Lord had commanded him. But then look what happened. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen to this, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? So he just had this great encounter. The glory of the Lord turned up. He took the staff with him because the Lord said, take your staff. But what did he say? He said, speak to that rock before their eyes and it will pour out its water. Moses took the staff, but he was a little bit in his own heart. He had a little bit of an attitude towards the people. And he came out of the presence of God, even though he just met with God. And he called the people a bunch of rebels. And he said here, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm. He didn't speak to the rock, but he struck the rock twice with his staff. Now, the interesting thing, water came out and the community and their livestock drank. So God still did what he was going to do because his heart was for the people. But Moses didn't do whatever God told him to do in the way in which God told him to do it. But what happens next? But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. Wow. That's a pretty stiff response from the Lord. Instead of speaking, he struck it. God still met the needs of the people, but Moses disobeyed God. God's response to that was, hey, sunshine, you're not going to go in and lead the people in into the land. Now, one of the things that for me was, it's God, I want to know you and I just want to do what you say to me to do. I don't want to trust in anything that I've got in my hand. and just do something in a way that I might have done it before, or take things into my own hand, even though you've spoken, and even because God speaks and we have his authority, we can sometimes do things in our own strength, if you like, or want to try and do things in our own way, and God can still move. But yet God here was more concerned about Moses' obedience to do it the way he wanted him to do it. And as a result of Moses' disobedience, he cut short something. I don't know if he hadn't done that, he'd have ended up leading the people into the promised land or not. I don't know. But God's response here was here, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of Israel, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. Wow. That's pretty full on, isn't it? And I believe God wants us to have a simplicity about walking with him. And there's enough stuff out there that's complicated. There's enough stuff out there that is going on. We can try and spin so many plates to try and be all things to all men, meet all these different needs, reach all these different people and do all this stuff. But actually there was a simplicity here where God, they met with God and he just said, speak. And we need to do some speaking and releasing in different ways, in prayer and in terms of preaching the gospel, in terms of communicating the truth. There's something in the speaking of what God says and the release of his life and his power that's going to unlock his purposes in a different way than us necessarily just doing certain actions that we might trust in because we've done them that way before, or we're used to doing things a certain way, so that's the way we do them. God didn't say to him, hit the rock with your staff. He said, speak to it. But because Moses had a little bit of an attitude, he obviously was a bit upset with the people, and he went and just whacked the thing out of a bit of frustration or a bit of an attitude. And so again, for us, while we're away, it's again, it was like, God, work in our hearts that we don't have an attitude towards anybody that's not right, whether it's anybody in our own situation, any of our own leaders or people in the church here or anybody that we know. Do you know what I mean? It's like, Father, we want to make sure that no matter what situations do you take us through, no matter the circumstances around us, whether it's a church life thing, whether it's something that we're in terms of reaching out, whatever we're doing going on, whatever the circumstances, even if the circumstances look like nothing's going on in terms of whatever we might be getting involved in individually or as a church, and the people around are moaning, complaining, they don't know what's going on, that we don't, even though we're meeting with you, that we don't have an undercurrent of a bit of an attitude where we just want to just get the job done and, you know, but actually, Father, we want to make sure that we do exactly what you want us to do in the way that you want us to do it, with the right heart and the right attitude. And God was more concerned about that than actually giving the guys the water and everything, because he was going to supply. He wanted to do it. That's his heart for the people. Then it says here, there were the waters in verse 13. There were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he showed himself holy among them. I believe God wants to show himself holy amongst us in this autumn time as a people, as a church. But also, God wants to show himself as holy to the people that we're reaching out to in every way also. And it's interesting what Pastor Collins just said, those five things that just describe a holy life, or how God sees a holy life. So there's practical expression to that life. So we're going to be taking all the life that we have, and that life has got to be expressed where there isn't any life. And so God wants to take us individually and as a church into individuals' lives, but into the life of the world, as it were, where there doesn't seem to be any life, where not a lot seems to be happening, where people don't know the answers, they haven't got the solutions, they don't know what's going on. And God wants to take us into those circumstances where we have to make sure, God, we've got to keep ourselves face down before you to really know you, to hear from you, and to see you do everything that you want to do in and amongst us and through us in these coming months, as we come into this new season of time. And the great thing is all the provision's already there. Everything we need for every situation is already being provided for. And as we walk forward and as we move forward in obedience to what the Holy Spirit is how he's leading us and what he's saying, then we're going to see that unlocked every step of the way. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about all the different, you know, ways in which God wants to release his life and his power. That all of it is just there. It's already, he has made it all available. He has already set it all in place. And water coming out of a rock was an incredible miracle. And we're going to see some incredible miracles in people's lives and in situations and in what he does in these coming weeks and months. And it's going to be great to see everything that he's going to be doing and how we need to move forward together. So let's stand and just thank him right at the beginning of this autumn time, that we're going to have some real face-to-face encounters on our own, but also together. You know, as we worship, as we meet with God, as we, and God's going to do it in different ways. He's not just going to do it in the way that we're used to doing it. He wants to reveal himself and show himself in ways that are going to be fresh and are going to capture our hearts in increasing ways than we've known him before. The way in which he wants to then move through our lives and touch others, and the provision's already there for all of it. Whether it's for us personally, whether it's for the church corporately, whether it's for whoever we're reaching out to locally or in a further afield, all the provisions are already there. And as we just simply just do what he says, we will see him fulfill his promises, his word. Father, we thank you. We praise your name.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.